Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for May 18th, 2013. Today we are fortunate to hear from someone who can inspire all of us to good fortune with a practical guide for releasing one's inner genius. With us today, we have the author of the book, The 10-Second Philosophy, A Practical Guide to Releasing Your Inner Genius. Derek Mills is one amazing dude who walks his talk doing amazing things, but it wasn't always that way. Yet it changed in 10 seconds for Derek and continues to change in micro bursts of intuitive genius. Derek says that can be true for all of us. He tells us how in this two-minute introduction that is far better than anything I could say.
One evening, I'm sitting in my office, and it's almost 10 o'clock at night. I've been there since 8 in the morning. This was my typical life pattern, working 6 days a week. I wasn't depressed, but I was clinically unhappy, and I was also failing financially. The security guard walked in and said, well, Derek, is it time to lock up? Are you ready to go right now? I said, well, no, just give me 10 more minutes. And he then walked off. He came back about 10 minutes later, and I said, give me 2 more minutes. And then he looked at me and asked me one question. He said, Derek, what time do you get in this morning? And then he walked away. And as he walked away, his single question went deep inside of me and made me realize that I wasn't happy. After 18 years of setting goals and following the normal ways of doing things, I was still broke and still unhappy in my life. I went inside and found who I truly was and what I could do with my life from that moment in time. And from that place, by going inside, ideas and thoughts and questions, phrases came out that changed the whole of my life. The 10-second philosophy shared with you what came out for me. In a number of years, just 3 years, I became a millionaire. I changed the whole of my life, my criteria. Within a few years more, I was speaking internationally, all around the world, first to ones, then to tens and hundreds, and now to thousands of people at a time, sharing how this philosophy of true self, standards, and 10-second moments can change your life overnight. The 10-second philosophy is for you if you're feeling unhappy, not feeling successful, not feeling yourself, or if you know there's more to you and more inside of you than you've ever got into the world. One of the things you'll get from the 10-second philosophy is how to set standards. Goals and standards differ simply because goals are future-based. Whenever we set goals, they're based upon next week, next month, next year, or the next 20 years. It doesn't matter. It's future-based. And most people, as a result, attach their happiness and their success and their feeling of contentment to that future. And that's where it stays, out there in the future. They don't have the feeling in today. What standards say, what standards do, standards say how you're going to be today. You see, standards are rules, criteria, qualities, and levels that you set today, a basis for how you're going to be in today. And if you can stick at those standards just for today, one day at a time, just until you put your head back on your pillow tonight, stick to your standards, then your life will change. And when you change, everything will change for you.
So thank you, Derek, for being with us today on Cosmic Love.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me here, Christopher.
You're welcome. I'm quite excited with your book, tuning into what you're all about, and really grateful that you can share this with us. Derek, you have a kind of a difficult background that turned into an amazing foreground, you might say, in 10 seconds. Could you tell us about that in your 10-second philosophy that puts present standards ahead of future goals?
Yes, having come from a difficult childhood, losing my mother when I was 13 years old, I went into adulthood and effectively struggled. I struggled all the way through my 20s and my 30s, both emotionally, obviously financially, having difficult times with debt and keeping the house above our heads, saving the house from foreclosure, bailiffs, and really every month being a situation where the month always lasted longer than the money and having the struggle. I think most importantly, I wasn't spending time with those I love the most, with my wife, my children, and my extended family. So I found myself at one point, going back just about 9 years ago now, where I was at a very low place. I wouldn't say I was depressed, but I was clinically unhappy. I think sometimes many of us are, you know, unwilling to declare ourselves depressed, So we kind of call it something else. I call it clinical unhappiness. And I was broke.
Yeah.
And literally just one night in the office at about almost 10 in the evening, a simple question from the universe delivered to me by another human being caused me to stop, pause, go inside, and the responses and the messages and the feelings from inside in the next 10 seconds allowed me to change the whole of my life. And this is why I changed the whole of my approach and, as you know, stopped setting goals and started setting standards from within.
Well, that spirit, I call it the can-do spirit, and I love that spirit that in a flash says, you know, I am, I can, I will, and by God's grace, done deal, winning from the beginning, fantastic, and getting better. No, I love that about you. Would you say this is more an intuitive attitude than a left brain aptitude?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are two things to consider. One is that when we look at goals, they're structured. They're normally in alignment with the world, or they come from the ego and from our thoughts. So what I realized in my epiphany, that I was far greater than the sum of my thoughts to that point in my life. There was something great, much greater inside of me that was connected through my spirit back to the source, back to God, or universal energy, whatever the listener wants to call that. And that was also living and in spirit through me. What actually came through me was, actually, I wasn't happy because I wasn't living my life as me. I know that many of us go through our lives miserable or not happy. And the main reason I discovered or that came through me for the unhappiness in most people is because they're not living the life as they truly are, as the spirit they came here as, in their true form, which I call true self. And the longer you live your life as non-self, the unhappier you'll be. Now, I knew that because that was my experience for about 18 years. So the reality of the philosophy was to show people practical ways to become and remain within their true self, to be more enlightened and begin to trust their spirit and the energy in the messages from their self and from God.
I like to think that happiness is more so an attitude than an aptitude, that it's not aptitude but attitude that determines one's altitude, whether you soar with the eagles on thermals
yes.
of grace or scratch with the turkeys on bugs of begrudge.
Yep. I agree. And I think a couple of things I've come across in the past where people say, well, now, you determine your attitude, and that determines your success. I also find that over time, including my 18 years, the first 18 years of my adult life, I struggled. See, I'd read the books. I'd been on the courses. I'd listened to the tapes. I'm showing my age now here, Chris. And listen to the tapes and the DVDs and things. And there I was, age 38 years old, almost depressed and broke. So how come? And a couple of things that came through to me from my inner wisdom or my connection to genius was that what goals do when we were taught to set goals, that goals take us out of ourselves. See, goals are future-based. When we set goals, we're saying, when I've got this thing, when I've got this house, this promotion, this partner, when I'm this weight, when I've got this income, then I'll be happy. And we can't help but do that because we attach additional happiness to the achievement of a goal. No one sets a goal to be unhappy, by the way. So we know when people set goals, it's to add contentment and happiness to their lives. But here's the problem that we experience as human beings. It doesn't matter whether that goal is next week, next month, next year, 3 years, 10 years, or 20 years. We attach our happiness to that goal, and that's where the happiness stays, out there in the future. And therefore, we don't feel our happiness and our true self in the present time, in the now, today. And actually, happiness is only a today experience. You can't be happy yesterday, and you can't be happy tomorrow. You can only experience happiness today, right now, today. So standards works to keep us present in today and living from our true selves.
Years ago, I had someone on Cosmic Love talking about the power of the presence, and the presence in the present was what that was all about. And
yes.
It's, you know, the, you know, and you know, to seize the moment, kind of awakening or flash of genius or insight or intuition that just knows. It's just,
yes.
You know, and it's amazing how in your book you've had accounts of how you just knew, you know, and with an attitude that you were like, for example, to be an international speaker, and that international speakers conference that you went to, how you got on the agenda when it was already closed to speakers.
Yes,
and you just knew you, and you, but you did the things with that knowing. You know, it's like that, you know, that spirit of you know, can-do spirit that saw yourself being a speaker and fulfill, you know, in a flash, and then and just was persistent even when they were, you know, they had all their speakers, you know, scheduled, but one of them dropped out just before you called and contacted them.
Absolutely.
There was a synchronicity there, or a serendipity that I know works, and it really it follows the spirit of, you know, I say I am, I can, I will, done deal.
Yes.
Winning from the beginning.
Yeah, it is true, and I think that part of what we experience is that when we are in our true self, because remember, our true self, as I talk about in the book, the full title of the book is The 10-Second Philosophy, A Practical Guide to Releasing Your Inner Genius. Now, if you're releasing your inner genius, it therefore naturally follows you must have an inner genius to be released. And I believe we all have a genius or guru inside of us. And when we are in that place, we are guided from that place. And we are guided from that place in line with, in spirit with, in harmony with the rest of the universe. So let me just do a small kind of reframe. When people talk about serendipity and coincidence and things, you know, conspiring in their favor, my philosophy became, as I began to learn more, to say that's how life truly is. So there's no such thing as serendipity or coincidence or these things happening. What it really is when you're in the right place energetically, when you're truly in your true self, you are more connected to the universe. So what appears to be serendipity actually is the norm. When amazing things happen to you, come into your life, make your life easier, make it what you might call more flowful, or get you into the zone, or get you to meet the right people, have the right opportunities over and over and over again. Instead of saying to ourselves, this is serendipitous, well, you can only have so much serendipity. When it's happening all the time, you begin to realize, hold on a second, maybe this is how life should be. Maybe this is how life is. So what am I doing not to be my true self in the rest of my life? Then we can begin to go inside and go, okay. Because one of the things I share with people that I coach or mentor is around the concept that a lot of us have been have discussed over the decades of being in the zone or the flow. And I contend that there is no such thing as zone or flow. The zone or the flow is nothing more than you being in your true self. And we can prove this, because if someone says I was in a meeting or on a sports field or in a relationship or doing this business deal, whatever it is, and I did the most amazing thing or I said the most amazing words, I was a genius, the things came out, I didn't know where they came from. They're typical. We've all had some kind of experience where we've been in the zone or the flow. And I began to recognize and to understand that there's no such thing as the zone or the flow. If you did something amazing in your life, whether it's 3 years ago or 13 years ago or 3 days ago, in a business or context or whatever, or sporting context, whatever you did, whatever amazing thing that you did, that was just you being you, the real you. And you couldn't have done those things unless you could indeed have done those things. So the very fact that you did them means it really is you. That's the true you. So a couple of questions then issue forth from that position. What comes out of that is, if that's the real me, and I was an absolute genius in that moment, I can even remember the day and the time when it happened, what am I doing in the rest of my life not to be in my true genius? And then the other question comes, which is, what do I have to do and what would my life look like if I began to act for my true genius, not just once every 3 years, but once a year? How about once a month? What if it was once a week, once a day, or many times throughout the day, where you accessed and stayed in our true genius? Now what does our life look like? And this is the thing. The genius is within all of us. What we have to begin to contend and tackle some of the ancient knowledge that we were given that says we have this within inside of us, and we have to begin to tackle the everyday, latter-day wisdom that says, you know, which to me isn't wisdom, it says the zone or the flow isn't you, it's a stage you go into. It says there's coincidence and serendipity, and I say, actually, no, that's just how the universal cosmic machine works. That's how it should work, nice and flowful for all the parts, and we're part of that universe. So when what we can do, we can pay attention to ourselves and say, when things are not flowing for us, we can forget the context that it's not flowing, but pay attention to the fact that it's not flowing, and then go back inside, go back to the source, go back to true self, and begin again.
In other words, everything's in a divine order, and when we affirm it and confirm it and determine it with our full presence, it manifests.
It manifests, and it works through us easier. If you have a pipe of flowing water, but there's no water flowing, it's probably because the faucet is closed or off. Now, the water's there, but it's not coming into your life. So what you have to do, and this is what you have to do, this is not a passive philosophy, what you have to do, you have to turn the faucet, so to speak, which is getting into your true self, and all of a sudden, the water that was already there begins to flow into your life.
So, I think a lot of people can identify with this. Everyone has had flashes of genius where call it synchronicity or just a knowing.
Yes.
That was, and I think that, and quite often on the show, Cosmic Love talk about how the veil is thinning, at this time in cosmic history or Earth's history, that, mm-hmm. And a lot of people are waking up to what I refer to as effective sensory perception. There's nothing extra about it when you have it.
Yes.
And there's an intuitive knowing that it just transcends, logic, so to speak, where people just know things, when someone is thinking or saying, and right before they call you, that kind of a thing. That kind of amazing quinkadinky.
That's a good way to put it. I understand that because that's what do you call it, clinkadinky?
Yeah.
Well, whatever that thing is. What if that was how we really are?
Yeah.
That makes us then begin to ponder. So what are we doing in our ego or with our thoughts that pulls us away from that internal connection to everything, to the source, to our true self, our intuition, our instincts, our feelings? What are we doing to pull us away from that? And are there things that we can do to bring us closer to that true self and to help keep us there? So part of the book, I talk about exactly that. So let me just touch upon, we talked about goals being for the future, and we as human beings attach our happiness to the future. But a standard is a present time experience. A standard is a present time activity. We only do standards just for today. So a standard, just for clarification, is a basis, a criteria, a level, a quality or rule. So if anyone wants to make a note of those, a standard is defined as a basis, a criteria, a level, a quality or rule that we set from within ourselves, each and every one of us, setting standards from within. And we live from that place just for today, just for one day, not for next week and not for next month, or just for one day. And the reason for this is that if we go inside and recognize the right standards for us, there are seven key areas we set standards in, and I'll talk about those. But if we go inside ourselves and recognize the right basis, criteria, level, quality or rule from within for how we should live our lives, then that helps keep us true to ourselves. What's really important about that that process is we get to stay and stick to our standards just for today. So there's no pressure about being this way for the rest, of the rest of the year or for the next 3 or 20 years. We just have to stick to our standards set from within by that introspective look into ourselves, and we stick to those standards just for today, just until we get our head back on our pillow tonight. And this is how it works. Just one, and if the good Lord gives you tomorrow, you stick to your standards for that day, one day at a time, staying present.
one moment, one day. Yeah. Every 10 seconds.
It's like moment to moment. Absolutely. And now, what we have, you know, we often talk about, you know, and of course, you know, 99.99% of teachers, leaders around the world, talk about goals and all the rest of it. And I just have to say, well, how's that worked out for the world? If you look at how much goals have been driven into us in the last 100 years, how is that working out for the world? How is hunger, by the way?
Yeah.
And how is everybody fed? And how is equality doing with goals over the last 100 years? And how's your life doing, you, me, everybody else? How's that working out with goals? What I know is after 18 years of setting goals, doing so many different programs and listening to different teachers that said, you're not achieving your goals, you're not doing it this way. Another teacher would say, well, do it this way. Or you must have a well-formed outcome, you must have this. And I'd go, hold on a second. Done all the programs, and there I was, broken, depressed. And I kept meeting people, once I woke up, Chris, who also have been setting goals, and we recognise that probably about 70% of people that set their goals don't achieve them. You know, other reports we quoted last year when we launched the book showed that in North America, as much as 97% of people said they did not achieve their life goals. That's 97%. So how come the goals phenomenon has been kept for so long? So
I like to think of success as the ongoing, you know, moment to moment realization of a worthy goal. But it begins with the momentum that's built moment to moment. You know, the more you basically align or attune to, you know, some people would call it higher power, other people call it source, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That the more one, you know, in full faith, in a fully present way, you know, just creates momentum, you know, by moment to moment, you know, that becomes the habit then.
It has to be. And it is, of course, moment to moment. And it's a really beautiful experience when you can get to realize, hold on a second, I'm just being me and living as me with all I came, with all the gifts, abilities and talents and love and light that I came here with. I'm just being that today. And that's a wonderful way to be, just being the true you, your true self, just for today. Because there's a couple of ways of thinking about this. And one of those ways is that we're often told by pretty much every teacher that we hear out there today, and I say that, you know, goal, the traditional goal, you know, set goals and become successful and happy, it fails most people. And people then say, I've heard people come back to me and say, oh, but Derek, you know, if you set a goal, that puts you under pressure, and that gives you pressure, and over time, you know, pressure and time makes a diamond. We've all heard that, you know. How diamonds, bit of heat, bit of time, and a lot of pressure. And I go, hold on a second. Diamonds are very, very rare, exceptionally rare. But the pressure over time crushes most people. So the rest of the earth is not a diamond. That's why they're rare. So using a process that crushes people and makes the odd diamond here or there is not a sensible approach for the rest of humanity. And this is, you know, ancient teachings. If we go back 2,000 years, and Christ walked on the earth, and he said, well, he said many things, but one of the things he gave us to remember was the Lord's Prayer. And when I had my shift that evening about 9 years ago, one of the things that kept coming through me was, give us this day. Give us this day. Four words, give us this day. And that, those are the four words that he taught. Now, notice what Christ did not say. He did not say, give us this week, give us this month, give us his fiscal year, give us his three-year business plan. He didn't say any of that. And I really believe it wasn't a slip of the tongue. I think if he'd meant to say, give us this week, or give us this business quarter, I think he'd have said so, being son of God or wise prophet, whatever your belief system is. So when he said, give us this day, that's what he meant. And in other parts of scripture, he also says, have no worry for tomorrow. And I'm thinking, well, how do you not worry about tomorrow? And the answer, of course, comes through that says, well, if you're... Give us this day to means being all you can be today, getting what you can into today and through today and from the day and loving today and hugging today, sharing your light today, giving your gifts out to the world today. And if you do all that in your life today, then truly you have nothing to worry about for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself.
It's like being fully present in the moment. You know, it's like, give it, you know, give us thy presence now.
Well, yes, absolutely, yeah. And living that. And isn't the pressure... I found people suddenly saying to me, Jake, wow, you know, I've been setting goals for the last 20 years, and for the first time in my life, by using just daily standards, the pressure's off. because I haven't got to achieve this thing in 3 years or quadruple the business size in 6 years or hit my whatever, you know, the house I'm looking for in 3 quarters. I feel much more happy. And here's what I came to understand. When we are in our true self, our genius, our creative genius, can come more into our lives. And it's our creative genius called the true self that is access to our own abilities and to infinite intelligence, which can help us give the solutions to our life and the lives of others. They can help revolutionize our business, our lives, our relationship, our health, of course, our happiness. But the reverse of that is if we begin to suffocate and stifle and put into a box and listen to the rest of the world and keep setting goals, we get to 97 and our genius has been kept in a box, has been stifled. Therefore, it can't revolutionize our life. So
yeah, everyone's got music in them.
Well, yeah.
And they want to get it out before they die.
Amen. Yeah.
and
what's the point of not doing that?
I realize this is philosophy. You know, philosophy is the love of wisdom, and I can see that this perfect life standard system that you're referring to is real. I mean, you can say that it's the standard is the golden rule law language standard for every golden age in history, and there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we forget to remember.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, the wisdom that you teach and that your other guests have taught, it's really about saying, you know, in our souls, in our deepest part of us, we know this, and we know this to be true. But there are always constructs of the world that take us out of that place and make us think that it's something else. And that's led by the media, society, education system, traditional education systems, that is, and the rest of the world, and, of course, the love of many. People tend to forget that the true genius lies within. And if you really want to make a lot of money in your life, if that's part of your, excuse me, that's part of your inspiration, then go inside, because you've got a guru inside of you. If you want to make it, then access the guru inside of you. Don't listen to the outside world. Listen to you. See, we can all, every one of us right now, would have a better life in seconds, in moments. The moment we say to ourselves, I'm going to sit for a while, I'm going to stop, pause, go inside myself and spend time inside my own self, inside my own spirit. I'm going to listen and feel for guidance, for words, thoughts, questions, phrases and ideas and feelings that come from that place. And for the first time in my life, I'm going to follow the words, thoughts, questions, phrases, ideas that come from that place, which is the real me. I'm going to ignore the thoughts and the ego and the pull of the world. I want to stay true to me. Because so many of us are willing to follow the guidance and the wishes of the rest of the world without realizing you are your own best guru. This part of the universe that was created through you was given to you. If your life, if your spirit was meant to be given to somebody else, it would have been given unto them. But it was given to you. This is for you to find out the expression of the universe coming through you and live from that place. And that's when you wake up and suddenly realize, hey, I'm a guru. See, I'm a genius, Chris. And I believe that every single one of us is a genius. We all have it inside of us. And what standards do, they help us to stay on a practical way, day by day, inside of us. It's okay having a philosophy, but sometimes a philosophy is just some, you know, it's wisdom expressed and some shared, and we sit and we ponder. But we live in a practical world with rules like gravity and rules like if you don't work, you don't eat, or if you don't pay your bills, they take your house. So how do we get that genius into the real world as well as our spiritual world? And this is where the true self-philosophy comes into it.
Well, for those who are tuning in late to the show, I'm going to get a little station break here. This is I'm talking with Derek Mills, the Standards Guy, the author of the book, The 10-Second Philosophy, A Practical Guide to Releasing Your Inner Genius. And Derek, I'm hearing the gold standard here, that the gold is not out there. It's not material gold. It's inside. It's the gold standard for the golden rule. Or, you know, it's spiritual. It comes from within. And I'm really appreciate the message. I found your book really interesting, with many extraordinary nuggets of gold stuff, you might say. And how would you say this book is different from other self-help or personal development books in the marketplace?
I guess they are in two respects, really. The first is that it's that 99% of those other works in the marketplace, they will have the intention of helping people, but we get that. But actually, we can't have 100,000 books saying the same thing and only 3% of people getting benefit from them. So what this book says is actually, regardless of what the world and the matrix is telling us how it is, the book challenges normal, accepted, modern wisdom and says, actually, it's far deeper than this, and it's far simpler than this. So one of the ideas around setting goals instead of, not setting goals, but setting standards, living by daily standards, set from your true self, which is from the true you, the essence of what you came here with, by the day, setting and living by standards. That's the first thing, which of course is completely different to every other book that's out there. Because often when we consider the teachings of the last 100 years, I only look at the teachings and then I look at the results of the world. And when I was writing the book, I thought, you know, if I can help one person to wake up to their inner genius, maybe that's the person that changes the world. Maybe, you know, like you and your listeners, we're on the foothills of enlightenment. And if we're on the foothills of enlightenment, a lot of the world is asleep. So I wrote the book to help wake up those who are yet asleep. Because we don't know who we're going to wake up when we share our light. And when we do share our light, we might wake someone up who goes way up the mountain, awaken and awake, and they change the world for all of us. So I also wrote the book with a responsibility that, you know, my light, my joy, my love, my inspiration was to say, okay, if I share my truth and I share my light, who knows what will happen with that? But I let go of the outcome, but I am excited about what might happen as somebody else wakes up to their truth. So that was one part.
Well, this is extremely personal stuff. I mean, for each individual. I mean, I'm tuning into your 10-second philosophy phrases in your book. And could you explain how? I mean, I realize everyone has different soul contracts. They came in with a different purpose, mission, you know, unique to their soul evolution. You know, this is at least what I understand. We've discussed this many times on the show, Cosmic Love. So that this is a very personal process, and where each one tunes into their own real self, you know, their higher self, you know, and what they can do, you know, with all the gifts and talents and resources they've been given, you know, with an attitude that makes it so. So how can people use, would you explain people can use your 10-second philosophy phrases in your book?
Okay. What I discovered when I was, after I woke up, that the question that woke me up, by the way, was a question from a security guard that was locking up the building and trying to throw me out.
Yeah.
So I was working so late. He came to the office, you know, almost 10 in the evening, and he said, "Derek, it's time to leave." And I just said, "Hold on a sec," you know. And when he asked me the question, he just said, "What time did you get in this morning?" That was the question.
Yeah.
What time did you get in this morning? It's a non-question, isn't it, to most people? That would mean nothing to most people. But the key difference was in that moment, I took time and allowed the question to go inside me. I stopped. I paused, allowed the question to go inside of me, deep inside of me, and allowed the resonance of what it really meant to work inside. So in those 10 seconds, I realized, hey, you've been working 6 days a week for years, not seeing your wife, not seeing your children, stressed, being stressed out, being ill, traveling all over the country. And all these thoughts and concepts came through me and feelings. You're not really happy because you're not who you truly are, and you can't be truly happy as not you. And stop setting goals because your happiness is always out there in the future. You're never having it today. Start living by standards. So all this stuff kept flooding out in seconds, in conceptually. And in that moment, I changed. So how do we use the phrases in the book? What has been coming through me from that time, and some of those phrases are in the book, and was actually around, there are words, thoughts, questions, phrases, and ideas all the time that the universe is giving to us, showing to us, having us hear, having us see, and in our experience. but most of what we do is we ignore them. We trip over the pot of gold that could wake us up and change our lives, and we walk on. So I began to, what came through me was lots of different phrases, words, thoughts, questions, and ideas. And as these channeled through, I thought, these are coming from my truth. Therefore, it must be for me to share with these with other people and see what it does for them when they take time inside. So here's what we do. We read the phrases in the book. We sit and we stop and we allow, by the way, having turned off the phone and closed the doors, we allow the phrase to go inside and to sink in us, allow it to work and germinate and, you know, excite our true self and our spirit. And then we see what comes from that place. But this is, and some people, it's like a meditation, taking the phrase and meditating on it. But we have to do something else. It's okay to meditate in the morning or whenever you might do that. I don't know hundreds of people that do meditation but struggle in their lives. And I realize that what we have to do with these phrases is not just ruminate on them, not just to ponder, but when we have guidance from that place within as a result of that statement, is to take action. We must take action based upon the feelings, the words, the questions, the thoughts, the phrases, the ideas that come from that place within. The 10-second moments, those that naturally occur in the world, that we see on a billboard or hear on the radio or some words or a passing phrase, or those that are in the book that just came through me, are designed deliberately by the universe, I feel, to allow all of us to stop, pause, go deep, go deeper, ponder, and then follow the guidance from that place. Why have a guru inside of you if you don't listen and pay attention to what it says? And listening and paying attention is not enough. We know this. Listening and paying attention is not enough. When I know that you know is when I see what you do. So we must take action from the place that comes to us.
I like to affirm on the show on a regular basis that we came from love, we go to love.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is love in action.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a creative tension that is released with co-creation with that love we came from and are going to, cosmic love or however you understand
yes.
God. And I love the golden nugget you have in your book from the poem Risk by Anise Nin, when she says, "And then the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Anise Nin is not one of my favorite poets, mm-hmm. writers, but there's genius in everyone, and there's real genius.
Absolutely.
That came through that one.
Yeah, and there is, and I think one of the things is, you know what, unfortunately, Chris, do you find that lots of people that you meet, as in ordinarily in your life, that just don't believe they're a genius or that they're a
yeah.
guru? Or they will trust everyone else, but they don't trust themselves. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, self-image is how we see ourselves, but self-esteem is how we feel about ourselves. That if a person feels unworthy, they're going to self-sabotage. So part of the process of affirmation, confirmation, determination, and integration of, with cosmic divine love is, the spirit of I am worthy. I can fulfill my destiny. I will do all that I can do because I can.
Yes.
it's an upward spiral that begins with pure intent of affirmation, I am worthy.
Yes.
Sometimes I do this thing, where I'll just kind of raise my voice and hands to the sky and say, "Hear, O universe, I am worthy." It's like an affirmation.
I am worthy.
I am worthy.
That's beautiful. And we are, aren't we? Because, we are here as an expression of love. As you said beautifully, we come from love and light, and we go to love and light. Therefore, we are love and light now. So therefore, we have to, learn to trust ourselves. I was actually challenged a few years ago when someone said to me, "Derek, you talk about, trusting yourself." And this young chap said, "But how do I believe in myself if I don't believe in myself?
Yeah.
And I mentioned that in the book. I said, well, so how, it's difficult because you don't believe in yourself, therefore you find it hard to believe in yourself. As you mentioned, there's a spiral. So it's funny that when I went back inside my genius just came back and said to me, look, maybe you don't trust yourself right now, but what if we just took one day at a time and we went inside and began to listen to the right standards for us, lived by those standards just for today, just until you get your head back on your pillow tonight and stick by your standards. And as your life changes, you will begin to believe. You will begin to trust in yourself. That's exactly what I guide people to do. Because it's okay to say believe in yourself and trust yourself. A lot of people just find that very difficult if they haven't been doing that for the last 40 years. So
yeah.
What we then can share with them is how on a practical moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis, just to do a certain thing, set standards in key areas of your life, your personal health and fitness, your environment, your relationships, your family, your emotions, your career, and your time. And you set those standards from within, and you live at those standards just one day at a time. As you, the longer you stick to your standards, what you'll notice is that you will change. And when you change, everything will change for you. The world will begin to treat you differently as you live differently. That's where you get your belief. That's where you get your trust from. And the beauty of the true self is that the more you listen to it and are guided by it, the more it trusts you. So the more genius it shares with you, and that changes our lives.
Yeah, it's a real turnaround and a reboot, you might say. I like to think of, you know, some of the fundamentals talk about being born again, you know, and I've told them, you know, when they ask me, you know, when was I born again, I say, well, 1949. And then and they say, how old are you? And I say, I was born in 1949.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, you're right.
You know, and then the born again experience, you know, you know, a comprehensive reboot, you know, Christians, when they, a lot of them, when they have that experience, they'll talk about how, you know, everything, their diet and everything in their life changed, you know, for the better.
Yeah.
And it's just really the same thing that New Agers talk about when they talk about unity consciousness, you know, or co-creation with unity consciousness. I mean, it's like it's saying the same thing. It's just you know this whole process of basically you know affirming you know in the moment to moment in the fully present you know now that there's you know more light, easier and faster is like I refer to it. Light and love, easier and faster.
So and one of the challenges that sorry, Karen, over to you, Chris.
Oh, that's okay. No, go ahead.
I was going to say that sometimes when I really know, as in really, really know that my life is living itself properly, is that when I meet people, I mean beautiful, beautiful human beings whose spirit and light is just, you know, wow, these are just the most incredible, lovely people. And sometimes I meet these people and they're having challenges and they can't pay their bills and their career isn't working out and than what the relationship that they want or they're overweight or whatever issues. And what I know that I'm here to do is to help people to recognize that the quote-unquote solution to that or the truth of that is within them. Because if we are, you know, if we are part of the universe and we come from the source, you know, we are here in this physical world, but we are still ourselves. We are still that spirit that came from the source. So if we go inside of us, we can solve all the problems that we have on this physical world. You know, there are those who just believe in what they can weigh, touch, measure, and count. And there are those who are clearly much more wiser and enlightened than that. But some of those more enlightened people I've found around the whole world are stressed out because they can't pay their bills. So what we need to recognize is that we have that genius within. We have to go there and it will help us give us our solutions, not just in our spiritual life, but the fact is we are a spirit within a body. And let's not ignore the fact that we are spirit within a body, and that body is part of another physical world called the earth that we currently occupy. So what we can do from that place, if we begin to trust ourselves over time, we will be guided by, well, let's turn right instead of left. Make that call or don't make that call. Attend that meeting, sit at this table, say these words that come from your spirit to this person, and be guided by that. And we certainly find that we're not just doing that with our friends and our loved ones. We carry that into every transaction when we buy, when we sell, when we're in business. Carry that what I call the A, B, C, and C into everything that we do. And the A, B, C, and C is when we carry our authentic, balanced, centered self, we connect with human beings in a way that others don't at the moment. And it's that connection which makes other people say, whatever you're doing, whether you're a coach, whether you're a broadcaster, whether you're a business, whether you're a salesperson, I will do business with you. Because when they notice and feel our authenticity, our balance, our centeredness, and our connectedness, they will say, I want part of my light to be with you and part of your light to be with me. And, you know, you haven't got to be the cleverest guy in the room to have people saying to you, I'll work with you.
Well, you have a lot of gems like this in your book, the acronyms and the just a lot of gems. We're gonna have to do a wrap. I really want to thank you for coming on today. This has been great. Your book is published by Hay House, which got my attention right away because I love a lot of their books. And I understand you can get it on Amazon. Are there certain bookstores where you'll more likely find it?
Yeah, I mean the major bookstores it's in, of course. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble, I know Amazon, there's a discount deal on there at the moment, so that's one area, but pretty much anywhere online or any major bookstores. The other thing that I'd like, because of course the concept of standards is pretty new to most people, so when I talk about basis, criteria, levels, qualities and rules, my website I'm happy to share is derek-mills.com, that's derek-mills.com.
I'll put that up on the Cosmic Love.
Thank you so much.
Derek, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm grateful. And to everyone listening, thanks for listening. We'll be back together here in a couple of weeks. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you.